Well, one-handed push. Meyer, Goddard, opportunity, and Goddard comes through with her power through the double block up front. 12-10 Beloit. Meyer sets up Shea. Larson off the block, cross court, and a winner for Beloit. 18-14, Lady Trojans 7 points away.
You'll hear more of that match coming up on our Substate Championship Week Rewind as we feature the Beloit Girls Substate Championship in Volleyball back in late October in Hoisington as they take on TMP in the Substate Final. And Brandy Paul, head coach of the Beloit Volleyball team, will join us coming up around 9:35, 9:40 here on the Sports Ticket. Wade and Dusty with you with the Sports Ticket on this Monday, April the 20th. Dusty, have anything local you want to lead off with or anything there, or can we jump into the other stuff?
Yeah, we can jump right into it, I think.
Well, let's jump into the fun stuff that was last night.
Yes.
The Last Dance, which was named by Phil Jackson because going into the final season of the Chicago Bulls, after winning 5 championships in 7 years and the GM wanting to tear the team apart, and the owner seemed to be somewhat willing to do that as well. Very interesting 2 hours last night. The first 2 episodes of a 10-episode series, docuseries, about Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, the Bulls going for their last championship, which, of course, they would make a reality, winning 6 in 8 years, and then the band was broken up. Pretty interesting stuff. First of all, let's hear from Michael Jordan. You know, we heard this, we saw this a lot with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant emulated Michael Jordan. I mean, it's amazing to see the moves Bryant used in his career were identical to Jordan. And one thing that Kobe and Michael had in common besides that was that their work ethic was second to none. It's just second to none. The drive to win was second to none. They were hard on their teammates. Sometimes they were probably even hard to coach because they're so hard on their teammates. But they seemed to get the best out of their teammates. And here's Jordan, as we've heard from Kobe Bryant many times, and especially after he passed away, we've seen all these videos and heard all the sound bites from Kobe. But here's Michael Jordan on his love for the game.
The greatest thing about the game of basketball to me is the passion, the love that I have for it. You know, because when you have love for anything, you'll go to the extreme to maintain that love. That's what love does. It loves drives you to do everything you need to maintain that connection. If I didn't have the love for the game of basketball, all the things that I just panned out to you in my career would have never been achievable for me. But it was truly my love for the game that kept me pushing to be the best basketball player that I can be. To be the best at anything, you gotta have a certain love for that to make you overcome all the obstacles that's gonna be thrown in your way.
You heard some of the things from Kobe Bryant. The love for the game, and for crying out loud, he won an Oscar for his short on the love for the game of basketball and then having to hang it up and saying goodbye. Those are two of the greatest basketball players that ever played. That is not even debatable. Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan are two of the greatest players ever played. But one thing that comes out of this whole Last Dance thing, and this is because we don't have a lot to talk about, and if you want to fill time, which obviously a lot of sports talk shows, a lot of people need to do right now, they have to fill time. What's a great way to fill time? Argue about who's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And it's a tiring argument, and quite frankly, it's really a big waste of time. But if it makes you feel better to argue with people that you can't change their minds about, then go ahead, knock yourself out. I said it earlier today on the show on Waterside Wake Up, you're not, listen, Dusty could be, and by the way, Dusty and I are on the same wavelength here, okay? We grew up with Jordan, and we're just going to reveal that Jordan's our favorite. And Jordan is the greatest of all time in our eyes, not because we don't think LeBron isn't great. And I've said before, at the end of LeBron's career, all his numbers might dwarf what Michael Jordan did. And I'm okay. You know, a lot of young people that I cover at the high school level, I've been seeing on Twitter yesterday. You know, you're knocking Jordan. You're trying to tear somebody down to make your argument. And if you have to tear somebody down to make your argument, I think you've already showed the flaws of your argument. There's no need. You can argue, and I'm not going to change an 18-year-old's idea of who the greatest player is, because an 18-year-old on Twitter talking about how LeBron is greater than Michael, that person never saw Jordan play.
No.
So they don't understand. And 25 years from now, that 18-year-old might have a kid that's about into teenager that won't understand their dad, who's 18 now, talking about how great LeBron was because they didn't see LeBron play, just like I never saw Pistol Pete Maravich play. or Oscar Robertson. If my dad told me and argued with me and said, Michael Jordan was great, but Oscar Robertson was better, how am I to argue that? He has his opinion, and I have my opinion. And somebody loves LeBron, or somebody says Kobe's the greatest. To each their own. They're all great. Can't we just agree to get along and say they're all unbelievably awesome?
Yeah.
There's just because
I'm right now avoiding all discussions about it because I'm trying to enjoy what's going on.
It's exactly. Like, to me, this is not about who's the greatest of all time.
A little bit of it already started last night, and I'm like, I'm not engaging in any of that.
No, to me, this isn't about the greatest of all time, this docuseries. This, to me, is about perhaps the one of the best dynasties of all time. But I don't say the best because the Celtics won 11, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So you can't say the Bulls was even the best dynasty. But you can. You can argue it. You can say they had the best team of all time, 72 and 10, won the championship. The Warriors had a better record, 73-9, but they didn't win it all. So there's a bit of an asterisk next to that. But I'm not going to change your opinion. If you're a LeBron fan out there, Dusty and I are not going to change your opinion. And if you're going to yell at us and say, well, you said Michael Jordan's the greatest, you're wrong. No, we're not wrong. Just like you're not wrong by saying LeBron. It's an opinion. And by the way, just because a ton of people say Michael Jordan's the greatest doesn't mean that he's the greatest. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of people are on that bandwagon doesn't mean he is the greatest. And there's always somebody to come along that could be greater. You know, I really can see 30 years from now, we might be having a 10-part series about Patrick Mahomes being the greatest quarterback or the Chiefs and what they did, and they became a dynasty. That'd be great. I'd love to see that 30 years from now. God willing, I'm that old, and I live to see that, and I can remember what happened. That very well could happen, but there'll be people saying, oh, Elway was better, Peyton Manning was better, Tom Brady was better, and we'll have this argument 30 years from now. And I honestly, you're not going to change anybody's mind that grew up with Patrick Mahomes, that Mahomes wasn't better than Dan Marino, John Elway. Just like you're not going to change anybody that grew up with John Elway, Dan Marino, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady, and Joe Montana. You're not going to change their mind. It's not going to help. There's no point. So here's what I want to do. To me, we got to focus on just the greatness of the Bulls and the greatness of what they did, considering all the things they were going up against within their own organization, which is insane that there are guys with the owner and the GM wanted to break up a team that won 5 titles in 7 years. They're thinking about trading Scottie Pippen, who is one of the 50 best basketball players of all time, according to the top 50 when they did that.
Yeah.
Okay? My two favorite basketball players growing up. First of all, my favorite players growing up, for me, just I'll date myself, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. Those were my favorite players.
Yeah.
And honestly, Bird was my favorite first. Then I respected Magic, loved Magic, didn't want the Lakers to win, but I love Magic in his game. But Bird versus Magic, I always cheered for Bird and the Celtics. That's just the way it was. But I love Magic, and I love how they played. And then I Jordan. When Jordan came out, and then I love Pippen. I always thought Pippen was so underrated, and I just really enjoyed watching Pippen. And I'm like, man, that guy doesn't get enough credit. I thought it the whole time in his whole career.
Yeah.
And we saw a little bit of that last night. But I grew up with it. You grew up with it. So that's going to be, you know, if I argue who's the best athlete of all time, some people are going to say, well, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, I don't know. They can come up with other people. Barry Bonds, I don't know, whoever. For me, it was Bo Jackson. Some people say Deion Sanders. I'm not going to change your mind if you argue Deion Sanders is the greatest athlete of all time. I would say you're wrong.
So we had this discussion once.
But that doesn't mean you're wrong.
Not who were the greatest, but like who's the best you've seen, like two-way player one time. And I said Deion because I was so young when Bo was done that I didn't really get to see his greatness.
Right. So just because you say Deion doesn't mean you're wrong.
Yeah, and, but I would say Bo if you asked me who was a better athlete, even though I didn't get to see it. But, you know, it's like, who have you seen that played, you know?
And for me, it's not even that comparable. I saw Bo and Deion. I'm a little older than you. I saw both in their prime. And Bo Jackson did things that no athlete's ever done.
Definitely.
It's insane. So to me, he was the best athlete. And I've heard some young person told me one time, first of all, they didn't even know who Bo Jackson was. So I'm like, you do know life didn't start. I mean, it did start for you technically back in when you were born in 93. All right, I get it. But just because you didn't see Bo Jackson play doesn't mean that sports started when you were born.
Yeah.
And by the way, sports didn't start when I was born either. Okay. There were Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Bob Cousy, Oscar Robertson, Pistol Pete Maravich. I'm sure there's a lot of guys that should be in the conversation for greatest basketball player of all time. Mm-hmm. Or Jim Brown, Jim Thorpe, Jesse Owens, the greatest athlete of all time. You know, we could all argue it.
Yeah.
But let's just focus on what took place last night. And if you didn't see the series, if you want to turn the radio down, we won't spoil everything for you. But there's some things that are really interesting about last night's first two parts to me. Well, first of all, let's not argue about who's the greatest of all time, because that's not the point of this docuseries.
No.
That's not the point of it. It was a different era, all right? If you want to talk, here's the few things I'll point out about the eras, okay? First of all, athletes are better now than they were then. I've seen young people talk about, oh, gee, look at the guys guarding Jordan. LeBron would eat them alive. You know what? You're right. He would. Absolutely. You also do realize that the rules were a lot different then. And if Jordan played today, he'd scored 30, 35 a game, and he was getting bullied and flagrant fouled to death by the Detroit Pistons, which you'll get to see in the next couple of episodes. LeBron's never had to deal with that part.
No.
Okay, so you bring
hand in... Hand-checking didn't exist
hand-checking,
with LeBron.
No. The game is so much more... Honestly, the game today would suit Michael Jordan so much more than it did when he was playing. And if you put LeBron back in the 80s at 6'9", 280... versus a whole bunch of guys that didn't even lift weights at that time, it would be unfair.
He'd be able to bully a lot
of
people.
He'd bully people. He would. But he'd get hammered a lot more, too. Defenses, you know, everything's different. So that's why I don't like comparing era to era. The bottom line is that, you know, Jordan didn't have to deal with the Warriors during their great time. You know, he played against great teams. The Jazz were really good, the Suns. And I've heard this argument, well, Jordan beat a whole bunch of Hall of Famers. Well, LeBron's beaten Hall of Famer. Every team that's won a championship has a Hall of Famer on their team. The Mavericks have Dirk Nowitzki. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, you know, LeBron lost to Dirk Nowitzki, all right? But LeBron also beat Tim Duncan, but he also lost to Tim Duncan. He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. I mean, we can go on and on about all that stuff. So there's different things. Like, LeBron didn't ever have to deal with the Pistons that beat the crap out of Michael Jordan. But Jordan never had to deal with a team that won 73 games in a season because he was on the team that won 72 games. So we can go back and forth. But a few things that stood out to me last night, and you can jump in when I'll give you opportunity.
Yeah.
Dean Smith in North Carolina situation was unbelievably refreshing to me. You know, Dean Smith, if you don't think he's one of the greatest coaches of all time, then really we should just stop talking sports. Dean Smith, to tell Michael Jordan, selfish coaches, and there's a lot of them out there today, would have told Michael Jordan, come back for your senior year so we can win a national title.
Yeah.
Jordan hit the game-winning shot his freshman year to beat Georgetown. Dean Smith, after Jordan's junior year, and by the way, Jordan didn't have the option of jumping straight from high school to the pro.
No.
He didn't have that option, okay? You had to be in school for 3 years. That's how it worked. Now, LeBron got to go straight from high school to pros, so his numbers will be inflated because he had 3 more years of basketball, okay? And, oh, by the way, Jordan chose to leave for a year and a half, too. LeBron hasn't done that. So, Michael Jordan wanted to come back to North Carolina.
Yeah.
And Dean Smith, his coach, told him, you're better, you should go pro. You could be a top five pick. So he goes pro. That stood out to me. The other thing that stood out to me is, you know, the Scottie Pippen story, because like I said, he's one of my favorites. I remembered the story that he was a manager. A lot of people didn't realize that. But Scottie Pippen, he took a stability over waiting out and doing his contract and signed a contract that eventually he was really severely underpaid. But Jerry Reinsdorf, to his credit as an owner, and I'll give him credit for this, he's being vilified today a little bit because he didn't renegotiate with Scottie Pippen. Listen, back in those days, if you signed a contract, and Jerry Reinsdorf said, he told Pippen, once you sign this, he even said, I don't think you should sign this long of a deal.
Yeah.
And Pippen still took the stability. Pippen even admits in this docuseries that I took the money to support. My dad was in a wheelchair. I had a brother that was paralyzed. So he took the money. But then his last year, he felt underappreciated, which I get. His deal was outdated by the time he got to that point. But Jerry Reinsdorf actually had warned him, I don't think you should sign this deal. And Scottie's like, well, I want the security of this. He said, okay, but don't come back to me wanting to renegotiate. This is your contract. I expect you to fulfill it. And then things got so bad, that's at the end of the episode two last night, where Pippen and Krause was really a major problem. Krause, the GM, and Pippen.
Yeah.
And we'll get to see more about that. But Scottie Pippen was an equipment manager. He was a manager for the Central. He was a manager at Central Arkansas. And if some guys weren't bad at their studies, Scottie Pippen would have never gotten a scholarship. Imagine that. Then he grew like 5 inches, went from 6'1 to 6'6. The next thing you know, he's on the radar. And he's a top five pick in the NBA. And he gets traded to the Bulls. Think about all the things that had to happen for Pippen even to get to Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, to work with Jordan. That's just the Pippen angle is pretty amazing. Michael Jordan, he got cut from the varsity team his sophomore year in high school. He didn't even make his varsity team. The greatest player of all time, according to many, didn't even make varsity high school basketball as a sophomore.
Yeah.
Worked extremely hard in the offseason. Got so much better. Grew 4 inches. That helps. Next thing you know, he just took off. So for people out there that get down on themselves, think about this for a second. two of the greatest players to ever play for the Chicago Bulls, and one of the greatest of all time, and two of the top 50, according to the NBA, when they released the list. Scottie Pippen was an equipment manager, was not on scholarship, wasn't even on a Central Arkansas NAIA team. He wasn't good enough to do that. And Michael Jordan couldn't even make it on the varsity team as a sophomore. Shouldn't that give everyone hope?
Without question.
Now, it helps you have a growth spurt.
Yeah. And it helps you have the ability, too.
Yeah, sure.
But you got to work at it.
You got to have the work ethic.
That's the point.
Pippen and Jordan's work ethics were extremely amazing.
The point of all of that is
Kobe
you get knocked down, get back up and work and go to work. If you really want this, go do it.
Yeah.
Put the work in. It's not going to always happen like that, obviously.
Right.
You're not going to get cut from Laney and then become the best player of all time in some people's eyes. It's not going to happen with everybody. But you go put the work in, and that's a good example of it.
Lincoln Riley, head coach Oklahoma Sooners, he tweeted, "Pippen started as a manager, no scholarship. Wills himself to being an all-time great. It's never easy if you want to be the best."
Yeah.
That is so true. I like the quote by James Worthy. I love the Carolina part of this whole thing last night. James Worthy, who was outstanding basketball player, Hall of Famer, he said, James Worthy, and remember, this is Jordan as a freshman at North Carolina. This is what Worthy said, and I quote, "After about 2.5 hours of a hard practice, I'm walking off the floor like drenched, sweat tired. Here comes Michael, pushing me back on the floor, wanting to play a little one-on-one, wanting to see where his game was. I was better than Jordan for about 2 weeks. He wanted to learn. He wanted to grow quickly. Month to month, game to game, he was soaking up information. Once he got something and added it to the raw talent he already had, it was really explosive to see. By the time we got to the national title game, he was a great player." And that's when Jordan said, "I turned from Mike to Michael Jordan when I hit that shot," because Dean Smith had the faith that, hey, Michael, Worthy was the first option on that play against Georgetown. But the second option was, hey, we're going to swing it side to side. You're wide open. Take it.
Yeah.
He had the confidence as a coach to say, "I believe in you as a freshman," to take the biggest shot of the team's season. And that won Dean Smith's first national championship. Bob Knight, Michael Jordan. You don't think Bob Knight's a smart guy? I know people vilify him for his anger management issues.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan never played a single NBA game. Bobby Knight coached Michael Jordan in the Olympic team in 84 before he was in the NBA. Bob Knight said there's three things that make a great player, and he went through and listed them, 1, 2, and 3, all talking about Jordan. And he said at the time, he's the greatest player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And Jordan wasn't even in the pros yet.
Yeah.
And he'd seen a lot of great players. He had Isaiah Thomas and went undefeated and won a national championship. Bob Knight knew something, right?
Yeah.
But the NBA didn't.
Yeah.
Rod Thorne, the GM of the Bulls, said we would have taken Hakeem Olajuwon. Even to this day, that's the guy everybody was going to take. Sam Bowie went number 2. We know how that turned out. And the Bulls kind of lucked in the number 3.
Yeah.
And for all the people vilifying Jerry Krause, the GM of the Bulls, if not for Jerry Krause, Scottie Pippen wouldn't even been on the Bulls. He traded to get Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
So it's weird how the whole thing came together.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can't wait for parts 3 and 4 coming up next Sunday.
Yeah. Well, there's three things that stood out to me that are a little bit different than what you had, because some of that stuff stands out to me, too.
Right.
I didn't know anything about the Bulls traveling circus. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah, that was something new. Yeah, yeah.
That was new.
Cocaine circus.
Yeah.
Jordan didn't refute that, did he?
He just laughed.
But Jordan said he didn't participate in it.
He didn't participate, but he laughed about the name because he'd never heard
it like that
before.
He hadn't read the article before. That was funny.
The Bulls traveling circus. I didn't know about that. There's two other things that really stood out to me. Is okay, the year that he had this went off against the Celtics in those playoff games.
You didn't know the limitations, seven minutes and a half?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't know the whole John Paxson basically making a shot to win a game because they're holding Jordan out so they don't win, basically. Mm-hmm. And then Paxson makes a shot. If he doesn't do that, then we don't even get that. You know, that doesn't even happen. And then the best part of it for me was the one where I just kind of laughed is – is they're interviewing him. He's like, "Well, how's the transition been from college to pro so far?" "Well, it's been pretty easy. And I'm like, "What?
Yeah.
Wait." I mean, he's being honest. It was.
Yeah, it was.
But it's just like to casually right away answer that question. Like, "Oh, it's been pretty easy."
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
But it's like you don't hear a lot of people say that young.
It was.
And just come out publicly and just say it like that. Those are three of the things that stuck out to me, just kind of different from what you had. But I actually knew the story the one right before that you were talking about with Jordan at North Carolina that he wanted to come back and Dean told him to go pro, so I already knew that but it was a refresher of I remember that now that we're talking about that here, but I do remember that he wanted to come back and Dean's like, "No, go."
He was so competitive, Jordan. That's the thing. He hated losing cards. He got in fights on the plane because he had to lose so bad. That's what made him so special. Roy Williams' quote was really good. He goes, "Everybody has an on-off switch. Jordan never turned it off."
Yeah.
That's what made him great. Maybe the greatest of all time. Kevin Durant was asked, and he's a pretty great player, What about Jordan? Will he be the best player in the NBA if he played today? Jordan or Durant said this, and I quote, "He can adapt his game to anything. He would fit in as the best player in the league now. That's what he would be. He would have had more possessions to do more things, more space to go to work. We'll never know, but for sure he's a masterful basketball player, and like we've been saying, his skill set is unmatched." Yeah, if he was in the wide-open NBA, would he have to be a better three-point shooter? Yeah, I'm guessing he would have worked on that and got to be better.
Yeah.
He did have a finals game where he had 6 three-pointers against the Portland Trail Blazers. So he could still shoot it from the outside, but it was a different game then. Now, when you're scoring, you know, teams, a whole bunch of teams are averaging over 100 points a game, whereas when Jordan played, there was only a couple that averaged over 100 points a game. Part of that was they allowed people to beat each other up, whereas now you do something, it's a flagrant foul, you get tossed. So that the game is a little bit different, but it would be a more wide-open, more fluid game for an athlete like Michael Jordan. And he probably, with if he had all the weights, which he started to do once the Pistons beat him up, we'll learn more about that in the next episode, but also there's so many other things that Jordan was able to do in his time that LeBron can do in his time and all the other players can. But what if Jordan had all this access to, you know, you got supplements that are illegal to help you recover. And by the way, Jordan, you know, he defied Bulls management. He broke his foot and he went to North Carolina to go finish up on some schooling. And next thing you know, the Bulls didn't even know he was playing 5-on-5 basketball.
Yeah.
Because he's like, dude, I knew my body. I knew I was okay. And that was an interesting story I did not know as well. So Durant says that Jordan, you know, would have adapted and he would be the best player today. Now, some people may say, well, so I don't like Durant and I'm a LeBron James fan, so that's a bunch of malarkey. And you have the right to the opinion and I'm not going to disagree. I would argue LeBron during Jordan's time would have been pretty doggone good too. Here's the thing I'll say. The greats would have been good in about every era.
Oh, yeah.
So we can argue hypothetically about it. So interesting insight from a lot of different people. You know, Roy Williams, you know, Dean Smith no longer with us, but that was interesting. The whole Dynamis organization and how it was run, and then the Bulls able to overcome that. And it's pretty amazing that you're being torn apart from upstairs after winning 5 out of 7 years of the NBA title. And it would have been more if Jordan didn't go to baseball. It's amazing that you would have that much of an infighting between your GM and even your owner kind of support the GM somewhat.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that was their biggest obstacle was not their players, the chemistry. It was the guys upstairs.
Yeah.
And they defied all that and still won for the dang people.
Yeah. It's like, here's another ring for you.
The biggest opponent for the Bulls was nobody they played.
Yeah. And, you know,
that's how great they were.
A lot of that you already knew.
Sure.
Like, you knew there was turmoil inside, you know, obviously, because if you grew up with it, you saw it and understand what actually happened there. Now, there's some stories that I don't know about during all the middle of that maybe weren't public then that are now because they had different access to it than we did back then. But, yeah, it is. It's like, it's crazy to me how that can happen. It's just wild.
In fairness to the Bulls upper management, though, they were an old team, but at the time there was a lot of older teams. And Pippen was on his final year of his contract. Think about it. Pippen was in the final year of his contract. Is it crazy to think about trading Scottie Pippen if you think you can't re-sign him?
No.
Happens all the time in sports now.
Yeah.
But it was a different time.
No doubt.
So it was awesome. You need to go watch it, folks. And if you're not a Jordan fan, you still should watch it to appreciate what happened before you were born.
Oh, yeah.
It is okay. I still enjoy going seeing stuff about Pistol Pete, how amazing he was as a player. And don't get stuck in just your lifetime. Realize there was a history. Before Jordan and LeBron, there were other great players. Let's just not make it about two people. And so anyway, it was really awesome. Okay, Bruce Weber coming up here in just a moment, head coach of Kansas State. For those of you tuning in for the Sub-State Championship Week Rewind, that'll start here in about 15 to 20 minutes. So we'll have that, the Beloit Girls versus TMP, and Brandy Paul will join us. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Sports Ticket here on KD Country 94, joined now by the head coach of the Kansas State men's basketball team, Bruce Weber. And coach, I guess the first thing is, how are you holding up amidst all the stay-at-home orders in this new day and age of society that we live in?
Well, it's different, and I think for everybody, obviously we're trying to stay safe. I'm an older guy, so, you know, I'm not quite in that extreme group, and I hope I don't have any underlying health issues, but, you know, we're just trying to be smart, and I've had to learn a lot about FaceTime calls and Zoom calls and anything else to communicate, whether it's with our players, recruits, obviously the staying in touch with campus and our administration, and but it's different. I get up in the morning and I go to the office, but the office is in the basement. And we just, you know, around lunchtime, I go upstairs and my wife and I, we call it recess. We go take a walk in the neighborhood and just kind of get some fresh air. And then I come back down and get on the phone again, and usually a little bit at night after dinner also. So there's a, you know, you're just trying to keep everybody connected. You're trying to communication is really important, and you know, text messaging and emails is one thing, but you know, the, seeing their face and talking to them and helping, you know, the young, our players, you know, trying to, there's so many unknowns, just keeping them positive and helping them stay focused in classes and you know, working out as best they can. And our big team for the spring right now is do more with less, and they don't have weights, they don't have gyms, they don't have workout guys, but they got to figure out things to do to help themselves get better.
Coach, I know last season was a frustrating one with the 11-win season. Was, and you've coached for quite some time, and we had Coach Katie on with us about 6 or 7 years ago, and he talked about his relationship with you and enjoyed working with you over the years. Was last season the most difficult or most frustrating for you as a head coach, or was there another season that maybe was more difficult for you?
Obviously, it was one of the most difficult we've been part of, and you know, I've been very, very fortunate, you know, with my time with Coach Katie. Even Coach Katie had a bad year here or there, and, mm-hmm. You know, with his great success. And I do talk to Coach Katie almost every day, pretty close to it, and try to keep him, you know, him feeling good. And he just gets on the phone with former coaches and players and stuff. And he loved his time in Beloit, still talks about it. And a lot of the Beloit natives used to come to our camp at Purdue for all the years. And so it was, you know, when I came back here, it was, gosh, I know some of these people. It was kind of, when I did a cat-backer up there, and I had known many of them from years ago when they came to camp. So, but it was tough. There's no doubt. You know, I always take a lot of pride in getting our guys to play at, you know, play hard. Maybe, you know, we've had years with, you know, really good talents. We've had years with experienced teams. And, you know, that's always easier, but you know, it seems like even when we, no matter what we've had, we've been able to get them to play together and play hard and be consistent, give themselves to have a chance to, you know, to have a winning year and be competitive. But I just feel disappointed in my, that I couldn't get them to really buy in and do some of those things. And it, if you follow this closely, we were close. You know, we were close in so many games. I think it's whatever it was, 9 or so, where we had a, either led late or we had a chance to win or tie, and we just couldn't get over the hump. And that does, those little things really make a difference. I was happy we won our last two games. I was happy the last one, even more the TCU game in the tournament, that it was a close game and kind of the same groundhog story that we had all year, where we, you know, be ahead, you know, get late into the under 8 minutes and, you know, let lead slip, and we did that. But in this case, in that TCU game, we made some plays at the end, got some stops. Mike McGurl made some great passes, and at least we had a positive moment at the end. And the Iowa State game, just for Xavier Sneed to have a special game and Pearson McAdee to have his Rudy moment, you know, that was good. So we at least ended on a positive note. Now all you can do is you know, worry about the future. We, you know, it's the same thing you watch on TV. You can criticize everybody, you know, what should have happened in December, January, you know, with this pandemic. But there's nothing to do about that now. We got to figure out how we can change things. And that's our main focus right now as a staff, as a team. And that's what we're really relaying to our guys. You know, we got to be ready and attack every day, like, so you're ready, like we're going to be playing basketball tomorrow. And if they can do that most days of the week, we'll be okay.
Kansas State men's head basketball coach Bruce Weber, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Certainly a lot of turnover on the roster going into next year, but before we talk about that turnover, your thoughts on those that are returning to the team next year?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I was happy Mike McGurl had a nice moment at the end. He's had some good moments all along, you know, at just different times, and he really probably should have redshirted, to be honest, that first year. But, you know, thank goodness for him to, you know, his 17 points against Creighton and help us get to an Elite Eight. But, you know, I you know, for the young man, you wish, you know, we had, that was when Kamal Stokes got hurt, and then we didn't know Cartier was a freshman. We didn't know what was going to happen, and Mike volunteered to come out of redshirt, and Cartier all of a sudden became a pretty good player, and And Mike just didn't get the minutes, but he did have that shining moment, and I know he'll always remember that. But I think he's going to be our leader. He's definitely been the leader so far, you know, just, you know, since late in the season and since the season ended. And so that's positive. You know, Dejuan Gordon, obviously, you know, was one of the better freshmen in the league. I think he wore down a little bit at the end and had a little knee procedure after the season. He just got out of a brace after 4 weeks. And, you know, I think he's going to take a nice step. He's got, you know, leadership ability. He loves the game. I'll bet five nights a week at midnight I'll get some take from him or a play or something that he's watching. He's become a student in the game, and I think he's got a chance. And, you know, Levi Stockard is had some nice moments for us. Good, you know, just been good and solid and a great kid. I'd like him, you know, to have a great senior year. It would be nice. I really believe the two freshmen forwards, Montavious Murphy and Antonio Gordon, both had some, you know, really nice moments for freshmen, especially in the tough league that we're in with a lot of experience and some of the best teams in the country. And, you know, Monte, if he, you know, he misses 8 weeks, you know, of the season with different injuries, but, and Antonio missed a bunch with, you know, from bronchitis to strep throat to pneumonia or whatever he had along the way. But they still, I think it was, you know, they showed some really positive moments. I know Montavious' last game at Texas Tech was really good. He had some other close to double-doubles. Antonio Gordon had a really good game against Texas Tech and West Virginia and a couple other ones. So I think they just listening to them, and when we're having our FaceTime calls, I always ask at the end who has something to say, and for the first time ever, Antonio spoke up. So that was a positive step. You know, I told all the new incoming guys how hard it is, and don't be like him, and understand you better work now, and all this stuff. So I feel pretty good about, the you know, all those guys. Casey redshirted, Forrest came in at the semester, big physical, strong body. You wish he was really making some progress, and you wish you had him on campus right now. But, you know, again, you can't do anything, and you hope he's working out, you know, back home and improving his footwork and some of that. So, but I, you know, I feel that group with a lot of new guys, young guys, you know, we feel pretty good about what we can be next year.
Kansas State men's basketball coach Bruce Weber, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So we talk about the returners, coach. Certainly the new faces on the team. You have a top 25 recruiting class coming in for next season. Two-part question for you. One, how do you feel about this class of talented youngsters that's coming into the program? And then two, I know this would be the hard part of the question, but what are your expectations of young kids that come in the program, or in this case, a talented group of youngsters coming in?
Well, you know, we knew after Deans and Barry and Cam losing all this, and then the Xavier and that group that took us to Elite Eight and won the championship, you know, you're going to have to replace that group, you know, over a couple of years. And, you know, our freshman group was very, very solid this year. I think they have a bright future, and now you got to get this next group to take a big step. You know, it's one of the best recruiting classes, you know, we've had definitely at K-State, and even in my career, I really believe that, you know, this, it's not only, it's not just they're talented, but they're great kids. They have, they love to play. They've won where they've been. You always, when you're building a team, do you get a point guard or do you get a big guy? Well, we were fortunate to get both. We got the big aircraft carrier and Davion Bradford, and, you know, just a true seven footer with a big body, you know, had a great season. They actually lost his team. Melville High School in Missouri lost to our other recruit, Luke's team at Chaminade. You know, they beat them to go to the Final Four. Obviously, the Final Four was never played because everything was shut down. But, and Luke's a really good shooter. But then, you know, we talked, you get a point guard, and Nigel Pack is definitely one of the better point guards in the country. I really believe he'll have a chance to play right away as a freshman. You go back to his EYBL numbers, the Nike numbers in the summer. I mean, these were with the elite players in the country, and he has a triple-double. He has a couple more double-doubles, and just, you know, almost one of those was another triple-double. So he can do a lot of things for us. Kind of a little guy, but I think people are going to love him, how he plays and the excitement he brings. And Selton Miguel is You know, he played Florida, West Oaks. They were one of the better teams in the country, prep school teams, and played a national schedule. They beat prolific prep, who a lot of people thought might have been the best team in the country, with a lot of kids maybe not only going to college, but some even thinking about going pro right away. They beat Oak Hill at Oak Hill. It was the first time since the 80s or something that Oak Hill had been beaten at home. Felton's a scorer, kind of a 1-2-3, got a good body. You know, been in the country 4 years. He's from Angola, and, you know, just appreciates everything. So that's your, you know, freshman group that we got in the fall, and then you added Surrey Lewis, and a good athlete. It was the other piece we were trying to add to that, you know, you got your 1-2-3. Now you get your 4 to help Montavious and Antonio, and he gives you, can give you some 5 also, athlete, jumper. And then when we lost, you know, David Sloan, you know, we had to find another point guard with some experience, and we were very fortunate to get Rudy Williams, a young man from Northeast Oklahoma, grew up in Canada, played his high school basketball his junior and senior year in the state, but feel very fortunate. I really like him. One, I love his smile. I love his energy. He plays hard. He's got a pretty good body. I feel, late like it happened. I feel very, very fortunate that we were able to add Rudy to the mix. And he's one of those kids that every day he wakes up and it's the baby goose popping out of the egg. I get a text message every morning, good morning, coach. What's going to happen today? And all this stuff. So it's feel good about that, because we need that leadership and energy, and the more experience we have, hopefully it'll help us. He took his team to Hutch as a freshman, and this year they lost in the championship to go there of their regional. So he had pretty good success. Actually, all our guys, you know, we talked about Selton. Nigel Pack was on one of the best high school teams in Indiana. So we got some guys that came through winning programs, and I think that's always important.
Two more quick questions before I let you go, Coach. Coach Weber of Kansas State with us on the Sports Ticket. One scholarship left. Is there a particular position you're looking to fill with that spot?
Yeah, I think I'm just a versatile guy, and I think we could go maybe the best player available. You always hear football, they even have a category athlete. You know, I'm not sure it's an athlete, but to me the athlete is just the guy that runs back kicks and punts, and he can play defensive back, he can play running back, maybe wide receiver. I don't, just a versatile guy. I think if we could find somebody that could give us a little 3 and 4, just, you always need 7 perimeter guys for practice. And because you just, somebody's going to get hurt or sick along the way, and you got to have enough guys for practice. So if we could get somebody that could kind of rotate both spots, I think that would, we would take that. You know, they asked the other day, do you want a freshman? I don't know if I want too many freshmen. 6, that becomes almost a majority. But, if it's a good one, we'll take them. Maybe a transfer that would, could sit out for a year. And, if that worked out, or even a grad transfer, if it's the right one. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Coach, time for off-the-wall question. If you could be the program director at ESPN or Fox Sports or K-State Sports Network, whatever it may be, and you could pick any game, one game, that you wanted to rebroadcast, Coach Weber, what game would that be?
Well, obviously, I just talked about earlier, I think it would be about Illinois and our game against Arizona. It was the 15th anniversary of going to the Final Four with that team, and we had the miraculous comeback, coming back from 15 under whatever, 5, under 9-point deficit, under a couple minutes, and won in overtime, and that one was played many times. But we've had a lot of games through the years, and, Coach Cady, our first year we won the Big Ten Championship in 84, we were picked 10th. Dick Vitale, I still have the magazine, he picked us 10th, and we won the league. So, those at Minnesota, we had to win at the end and get a rebound and a stop. And, there's been so many along the way that we've been part of. And even at K-State, to win that Big 12 championship 2 years ago with, beating Oklahoma, it was one of the I had a lot of people tell me it was one of the best moments in Bramlage history. So there's been some good ones, but you know, I've just been fortunate to be part of a lot of good, coach a lot of good players, and be part of a lot of good teams. And hopefully, we'll have some more here in K-State in the near future.
Kansas State men's head basketball coach Bruce Weber, our guest today on Sports Ticket. Coach, we appreciate the time. Stay healthy, and hopefully soon we'll get back to normal, okay?
Yeah, we hope so. And it's important for everybody. You know, the best thing you can do to get back to normal is to stay home and take care of yourself. I know the hand washing. I sing happy birthday about 10 times a day while I'm washing. And you know, it's important. And you know, not only if you're young, you think, oh, I'm invincible, but you don't want your mom or dad or grandparents or whatever, because you brought it home, to be a, you know, the one that infected them. So it's important. Stay home, take care of yourself. We'll get through this. Our country's it's been through other things, and we haven't lived it, but there's a lot of history there where our country has stood up and raised up and fought through some tough times, and it's going to happen again. I do want to give a shout out to the Pessingers. They're our neighbors in Manhattan on the weekends, and Mike and Karen are great people, great K-State backers, and you know, hopefully he's staying put and not carousing through Beloit during the week. So,
Coach, we appreciate the time. Have a great spring and summer, and we will talk to you next season. All right.
Thank you.
That was Bruce Weber, Kansas State men's head basketball coach, joining us today on the Sports Ticket. Welcome back to the Sports Ticket. It is Substate Championship Week. We're playing some of the best Substate Championship contests that took place, whether it be volleyball, basketball, or football, over the years, and re-airing portions of those contests and also catching up with the coaches of those squads. And we go back to recently, October 26, 2019, Beloit TMP 3A Girls Volleyball Substate Championship match at Hoisington. And this was a highly anticipated match that almost didn't happen. Beloit rallied in the third set against Hoisington in the Substate semifinals to move on to the finals against TMP. TMP, a team that Beloit beat earlier in the year, but TMP with a lot of talent, and here to talk about the Substate Championship win in straight sets and allowing Beloit to move on to the state tournament. Hutchison is the head coach of the Beloit volleyball team, Brandy Paul. And Brandy, what I remember about this one is that you guys survived the scare against Hoisington, and there was a thought, well, TMP's well rested, didn't have to go three sets, but you guys had just come off the emotional win, but we're already, you know, sweating, adrenaline was pumping, and ready to go right into that next match. And I remember you telling me in our post-game interview that you thought that was maybe a good thing for you, is that you were able to just keep on rolling after playing three sets against Hoisington.
Yeah, I do think that was good. And we said that throughout the year with tournaments we would have anytime. You know, we played better as a team without City. So I thought that was to our advantage. We had that adrenaline going. You know, them girls were so fired up, and I think that was a huge adrenaline. Plus, you know, TMP sat there and watched us do what we had just did to Hoisington. You almost saw it in their face of, oh, wow, they're good, you know. And I think that might have got into their heads on, you know, the other end of it. Is they sat there and watched that huge comeback and watched what our girls could do, because we, you know, all our girls that last part of Hoisington were just playing picture perfect. And so I think they saw that because, you know, I saw them out there watching there at the end until their coach told them to go away. But, and we came up, the girls were so fired up and ready to go. You know, I think there was a huge advantage to us with TMP.
Sometimes when you anticipate a big-time game or match, it's almost a relief once you get there. And it seemed like for your team, it was, whoa, we avoided a really big scare. Now let's let it fly. This is what we expected. We expected to play TMP.
Absolutely. And I think that was a lot of it. And we had anticipated, and, you know, we had watched. I had scouted TMP. We had played TMP. We knew how good TMP was. You know, when we went up there and played them during the season, we played a five set, and they took care of us pretty good the first set. We made some adjustments, and then the other three sets that we played them were really close sets. So we knew they were good. We knew what they had. I had scouted them and they had, you know, a really good setter and really good hitter that they really worked with, and we almost knew every move that they would do, and I thought the girls were really well prepared, and like you said, they had been prepared for this one, so they were ready.
Beloit wins it in straight sets. We will pick it up here in the second set. TMP Beloit, the top two seeds, Substate. This is from October 26th of 2019. Beloit able to punch their ticket to the state tournament for the fourth time in 5 years.
Well, the slogan or motto for the boy volleyball team this year is limitless. Last year, third place at state, first time hanging a banner for volleyball in school history. And their goals are higher than that this year. They believe they can win a state championship, and who could argue? And those dreams were nearly derailed earlier this afternoon when they were down 15-8 in the third set against Hoisinda team that was 15-22 on the season. But Blake came back, 17-6 run to close it out, win 25-21. And then they take set one against TMP 25-20. So now the question's going to be, TMP is going to bring energy. There's going to be a huge sense of urgency like Hoisington had in set two earlier today. Beloit didn't really respond to that very well, but then, of course, came up big when they needed it midway through set three. So can Beloit stay super focused, laser sharp, and go ahead and finish this in straight sets? We'll find out in a little while. Set to serve will be Coulter. We switch ends. Beloit now in the white jerseys on the right side of your screen, and TMP in the navy blue on the left hand of your phone screen, laptop screen, iPad screen, TV screen. As this is an ace right off the bat for Coulter off of Bovey. And TMP with the early 1-0 lead. We've seen Beloit at times this year have a little bit of a letdown after winning a first set. We shall see if that happens. Here's a serve, line drive, Bovey this time able to pass it over to Meyer. Travis sets it deep in the back row. Now another set, they'll go to Lane. It's partially blocked, but Drum able to keep it alive in the back row. Travis to Larson. TMP will have a chance. They're gonna set up Lane again. Lane delivers. Lane at 5-11, and when she's able to line it up, it's almost automatic, kind of like Shea Larson. 2-0 TMP in set two. Line drive serve, dug by Travis. Meyer sets it up for Pearson, stuffed at the net by Lane, a solo block and a point for TMP. Now these two teams are so good that you really almost expect this to go three sets before the match started and even after the first set. 3-0 TMP. And it clips the net, goes over. A line drive with power. If you clip the tape and you have a line drive with power, that thing's gonna go in. It's at least gonna go over. 4-0 TMP in set two. So see if Beloit can respond. Here's a serve, line drive. Whoa, what a serve. Meyer went across, that's a point. She was trying to handle it. So Coulter has found her rhythm and a timeout called by Beloit. 5-0 TMP in set two, back in a moment. So after the Beloit timeout, TMP will have it. Coulter has been on fire. 5 straight points on her serve to start this second set. And it hits it into the net. It's a risk-reward serve. Law of averages, who's going to hit one in the net. But, of course, if you serve 8 great ones in a row and hit one in the net, it's not really that big a deal. You're up 8-1. Here's Pearson to serve. Takes a little bit off. Normally she has more power on it. Here's Lane. Whoa, Lane jumps into another stratosphere and pounds it home for the point. Wow, that was impressive. Like she had springs in her legs. 6-1 TMP. TMP losing their first set of the day in set one. Beloit won that 25-20. Set two, TMP in control early. Augustine cross court into the net. Another service there. 6-2. Monarchs. Just tuning in, Beloit TMP played September 12th at Hayes. Beloit won 3-1. And a good serve by the Trojans. And TMP unable to pass it around and set up their offense. In essence, an ace for Jessica Meyer. 6-3 in favor of TMP. This is a best 2 out of 3. That was a special circumstance playing 3 out of 4 at Hayes. Here's Lane. Dug out, somehow hit over. Now Meyer gets it back. What a dig by Odell. Now Larson, and it's blocked back, and deep into the backcourt for a point for TMP. That was a fun point. Boy, what a dig. I believe it was Meyer that somehow kept that alive off of Lane's fireball. 7-3 TMP in set two. Here's a serve. Drum, pass ahead to Meyer. Here's Larson, and stuffed at the net by Lane along with Miller. And volleyball is about adjustments on the fly. TMP's made an adjustment. And you also got to remember, Beloit had to take on a long three-set match right before this match. Here's Bovee, and TMP trying to get it over, and they cannot. That'll be four hits. There's another reason why Beloit wants to finish this in set two. You don't want to go three, obviously, when you won the first set. But also, Beloit's already gone three, and they had about a 15-minute break in between matches. So you just got to hope Beloit's got enough octane in the tank. Blocked by Travis. Here's Meyer. Over to Goddard. Blocked at the net. Larson's there to cover. Now Meyer over to Travis. Dug out by Coulter. They set it up. Lane winds up. Dug nicely by Larson. Here's Meyer. Goddard has to set it over. And now Beloit trying to... They got over-rotated to the near side, and TMP saw that. And the quick set on the opposite side where there was no one home for Beloit. That was a smart play there by TMP. 9-4 Monarchs. Lane to serve. Jump serve. Meyer. Travis. Back to Meyer. She'll set it over. Yost to Augustine from the back row. Lane hits it into the net. 9-5 TMP. Bovee to serve. Jump serve. Floats into the back row. Here's a set going over Hagen. Stuffed at the net by Pearson. That's a nominee for the HR Block block of the game. HR Block and Beloit never settle for less. Hannah Pearson with a fantastic solo block against Lane, of all people, 9-6. Here's a serve by Bovee. It's a good serve. Yost hits it over. Dug out by Meyer. Here's Travis. They're going to set it up for Pearson, who hits it off the block and into the stands. And Beloit's within two, 9-7. Trojans trying to qualify for state for the fourth time in the last 5 years. TMP's been there three of the last five. Beloit's been there three of the last four, obviously. Beloit time didn't make it. Lost in the sub-state finals a couple years ago to Heston in Beloit. Here's the jump serve by Bovee again. Just pops it over. And that's not a good pass. And right there to stuff it is Goddard. But TMP is able to get it over on three hits. So Beloit will regroup. Good pass hit by Bovee. Now to Pearson, who somehow goes back deep with that right shoulder, get it over. Now Coulter punches it. Drum has it. Now to Meyer. Goddard blocked at the net and a point for TMP. Well, it looked like it was going to be Beloit's point. They had a chance to stuff it at the net on a bad pass by Lane, but could not take advantage of it. 10-7 TMP in set two. Beloit won set one, 25-20. Wade Gershner and Bryce Beisner with you here from Hoisington, side of this 3A Substate Volleyball Tournament. Pearson, Travis, and TMP now will go on the attack. Sets it up for Coulter, the dink covered by Meyer. Now Travis to Pearson, partially blocked. That allows Lane to get there. Now Wassinger lines it up, dug by Drum. Over to Travis, the dink, and it falls. But Coulter mistimed her jump, or she anticipated that dink, but unable to cover it. 10-8 TMP. Stay tuned. We hope win or lose, but we're hoping win, of course. Brandy Paul is expected to join us to talk about today's matches and hopefully an appearance at state. Here's a serve by Travis, cross court in the back row. TMP, they set it up. Wassinger, excuse me, that's DeWitt. Now Meyer, here's Pearson, stuffed, but it's wide. Too much mustard on that hot dog by Pearson, and the block goes out of bounds. 10-9, TMP by one after leading 5-0 and 9-4 in this second set. Travis to serve, right to left, dug out by Augustine. They want to set it up. DeWitt back in the row. Beloit has it. Over to Goddard. Goddard slaps it over. Set. Travis is ready for it. Now Pearson. Kaboom! Another big-time spike from Hannah Pearson. We're tied at 10. Coach Paul said, I don't want my girls holding back today. I want them to let it go. Have a chance to spike it. Go for the spike. Don't think about missing. That's what Pearson did on that hit and got the kill. 10-10 tie in set two. The spike and Coulter well along with it. Beloit up 11-10 and TMP might be thinking timeout. Travis to serve for the Lady Trojans, who trailed this whole set but now lead 11-10. They've overcome a 5-point deficit. Travis hits it over. Lane in the back row. Well, one-handed push. Meyer, Goddard, opportunity, and Goddard comes through with her power through the double block up front. 12-10 Beloit. Higgins is in, going out is Coulter. Mackenzie Travis, a sophomore, to serve again. All-leaguer a year ago as a freshman. That doesn't happen very often. They go to Higgins, and off the block and out of bounds. Point for TMP. That was a good set to Higgins on the far side. Higgins, a sophomore. Lane, a sophomore. This TMP team is going to be rock solid for the next couple of years. And could have more battles with Beloit. Well, it's going to be still good even without the seven seniors that graduate this year. They are a deep volleyball team. Here's Travis. Bovey punches it over. The set for Higgins. Lined it up. Blocked by Pearson and Meyer. Point Beloit. 13-11. Lady Trojans. Could be a fun night on Friday if Beloit could make state volleyball Friday morning and then state football play a game Friday night and then back to Hutch on Saturday. That would be the great equation. As this spike is way too long by Higgins. Went for it all and misfired. Hutchison is the destination. Hoisington is the site right now. Beloit beat Larned and Hoisington. TMP knocked off Russell and Lyons to get here. TMP did not drop a set until they lost the first set against Beloit in the championship match. Beloit pushed to the limit against Hoisington. 14-11 Beloit, served by Drum. Cross court, it's handled. Dink by Higgins, covered by Pearson. Now opportunity, Meyer blocked at the net. Travis scrambles after it, sets up Shea. Sliding dig there. Back is Drum, she's able to cover. Travis has it, good court coverage by Beloit. And then Larson was backpedaling, trying to get that over. And she couldn't. 14-12. Beloit by two in set two. They won set one. So they're 11 points away from going to state for the fourth time in the last 5 years. Served by Coulter, long, and that's big because Coulter was on fire to start this set. Had 5 straight points on her serve. Hits it long. 15-12 Beloit. Beloit would love to see Coulter not serve again. Pearson took something off. Sliding dig by Coulter. Lane spikes it. Cross court through the hands of Larson. Shea would like to have that one back. She had an opportunity. 15-13 Beloit. Pearson goes out. Darby Odell is in. So it is Drummond Odell and Travis in the back row. Bovey and Larson along with Meyer up front. Augustine to serve. Meyer sets it up for Shea. Oh, a pancake save there. What a play by Gottschalk to the back row. Darby Odell. Here's Larson. Sets it up for Meyer. Jessica says, I've got it. Now Coulter ahead. They'll set it up for Lane again. Blocked at the net. And Lane gets it over. Inside the antenna somehow. Blight sets it up. Larson trying to finish it. Cannot. They're going to go back to Lane. Nope. They're going to go back with the set. Meyer has it right side. Back to Larson. Larson might be a little bit tired right now. Now Lane dug out by Drum, but can't handle it. And a point for TMP. 15-14. A 1-point game. 1-point set. 15-14 Beloit. 10 points away from state. Of course, TMP has a chance to win this set, force a deciding third set. Here is Augustine, the libero, to serve. Drum, pass ahead to Meyer. They set it up for Bovey, and she's able to sneak it through with the left hand. Well done by Trista. She changed her mind in midair, gets the point. Drum goes out. Nope, Drum's going to stay in. So it is Meyer to serve. Drummond Odell in the back row. Travis Bobey and Larson up front. Pearson getting a breather right now on this rotation. They're going to set it up for Lane. Stuffed at the net again by Bobey and Travis. Lane will try it again inside the antenna. Beloit an opportunity leading by two. Travis McKenzie. Oh, yes, point Beloit. Great effort there by Augustine, but Travis with the kill. 17-14 Beloit. 8 points away from Hutchison. Meyer, serve, low flat serve, handled by the libero. Quick set, Larson was ready. Now TMP on the attack. Nope, they just got to get it over on the third hit. Meyer sets up Shea. Larson off the block, cross court, and a winner for Beloit. 18-14, Lady Trojans, 7 points away. Welcome back. Wade Gerstner, Bryce Beiser with you. Our live video stream at ncksports.com. Meyer to serve. Deep in the back row, Coulter. Now the quick set. Odell is there to cover it. Now Larson has it deep in the back row. Gottschalk. Cross court. Dug out there by Meyer. She has a smile on her face. They're having fun out there, even though it's pressure. And now Larson sneaks it through with the left hand and a point for Beloit. Trojans 6 points away from state. Meyer to serve again, the 5'5 senior. Lets it go. Bad pass. Point Beloit. 20-14. 5 points away. Meyer to serve. Good placement in that backside corner. They go to Lane. Dug by Drum. Great control. Travis. Yost. Stuff in the net, but it went wide. Oh, great opportunity, or a great try, I should say, by Larson. 20-15. I know there are some Beloit Lady Trojan alums who've been part of these state teams the past years that are watching our video stream. We welcome you, and we appreciate you tuning in. You helped build this program. Meyer the back set to Larson. Dug out by Yost. Oh, bad set. They wanted to go to Lane. Trojans have the opportunity. Can they seize it? Bovey stuffed at the net, and a point for TMP. 20-16. Beloit still has a little bit of breathing room here. In set two, you're tuning in, they won set one, 25-20. Serve on the way by Yost. Travis had problems handling it. Odell, great hustle. Meyer will get it over. Beloit, terrific defense. Here's a quick set, stuffed at the net, but it got through, and a point for TMP. Now Beloit was up 20-14, and they will call a timeout, leading by three, back in a moment. Today's Substate coverage brought to you in part by Landau Corporation, Schroeder Law Office, Goddard Repair, Solomon Valley Bank, Roberts Family Funeral Service, S&S Drug and Home Health, Beloit Medical Center, Thompson Oakley Tire, Ray's Apple Market, along with Farm Bureau Financial Services, Todd Clover, agent. Served by Yost, Beloit leading 20-17, 5 points away from state. After the timeout by the Lady Trojans, here's Travis on the sideline. And, oh, man, TMP, they let it go. As Miller and Augustine looked at one another and it fell. Big point. Beloit up by four. 4 points away from state. Larson the jump serve. Libero Augustine, the Yost. They're going to back set at the lane. Cross court. And that was in. Just on the line. 21-18 Beloit by three. Today's Substate coverage on our video stream. Also brought to you by Guaranty State Bank and Trust Company. Law Office of Scott Wright in Beloit. Owen Chiropractic, Central Valley Ag, Cunningham Telephone, Cagle, and Agmark LLC. Stay tuned for the block of the game brought to you by H&R Block and Beloit. Never settle for less. 21-18. Travis sets it for Goddard. Goddard sneaks it over the tape. Beloit has it. Meyer to Bovey. The back set. And it's wide, or was it tip? Nope, they're going to say a tip. And a point for TMP. And Beloit's lead is down to two. 21-19. It is always hard to close out a really good team. Got to earn it. Odds are they won't give it to you until I say that. Emily Lane serves it right into the net. Pulled the string and didn't have commitment in that jump serve. Jump serves can be great and they can be disaster. 22-19 Beloit Trojans, 3 points away from Hutchison. The serve by Trista. Tugged by Lane. They set it up to Higgins. Blocked at the net. Meyer there. Now Travis. Over to Goddard. Cross court. And it's a winner! Well done by Paige Goddard, one of those seniors. 23-19, Beloit timeout, TMP. Wade Gersher back with you here from Hoisington. Beloit 2 points away from state for the fourth time in 5 years. Bovey the serve, gets it over. The back set, back row to Lane. Whoa. The tomahawk missile and the point for TMP, 23-20. That was an impressive spike by Lane. She did not hesitate. She fully committed to that spike from the back row. 23-20 Beloit. TMP trying to stay alive. The serve on the way by Miller. And Travis with a one-handed punch kept it alive. Bobby get it over. Well done by Travis. Looked like a point for TMP. Hagen spike into the net. Mackenzie Travis with her fantastic defense and flexibility and agility to keep that alive allowed Beloit to get that point. 24-20. Sub-state championship point, match point for the Lady Trojans of Beloit. Substitution, Coulter coming in for Higgins. A state tournament berth on the right hand of Mackenzie Travis, the sophomore. Beloit leading 24-20 in the sub-state championships against TMP. Lets it fly. The libero passes ahead, Augustine from the back row. Lane dug out by Drum. Travis has it. Over to Goddard. Dinks it over. Covered by Coulter. Poked over. Travis has it. Now to Meyer. Here's Pearson off the block of DeWitt. And Beloit's going back to state for the fourth time in 5 years as they win in straight sets over TMP 25-20, 25-20.
We hope you enjoyed that edition of our Sub-State Championship Week on KD Country 94, kdcountry94.com, and on the Sports Ticket. Big thank you to Brandy Paul, Beloit Trojan head volleyball coach, for joining us earlier during this edition of Sub-State Championship Week. Beloit would go on to the state tournament for the fourth time in 5 years at State and Hutchison. They would knock off Burlington, Phillipsburg, and Cheney in pool play. They drew the assignment of taking on defending state champion Silver Lake in the state semifinals, beat them in three sets to move on to their first ever state championship match in volleyball, but fell to Royal Valley in straight sets, ending their unbelievable season with a school record 41 wins versus just 4 losses. If you want a copy of that broadcast or any other broadcasts we've done in the past, whether it be football, basketball, volleyball, whatever the sport may be, give us a call at station at 545-3220.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.